Scripture this morning is coming from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 36 through 40. Once again, that is the book of Acts, chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 36 through 40. If you have it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation.
Good morning. It is a delight to see you here this morning. We are excited about the day before us. Always thankful to be together to worship our Lord and to glorify our Heavenly Father, especially today as we celebrate our new members. We are thankful for you. Glad that you are here. We've been planning to do this for some time and glad we finally get a chance to. We want to welcome and celebrate the new members today, and so we're looking forward to that. Looking forward to the afternoon session as well. We'll hear about a mission trip, and so we're excited about that. Hope you can stay and eat with us and just spend a good portion of the day here with us today. We look forward to it. Appreciate Bill's prayer, specifically for those who are hurting in Florida and Houston. Praying for our brethren, and there are many people displaced. Want to be mindful of them. Some have come into Atlanta and to this area, and who knows, they may very well come here. I met at least one family this morning, and we're certainly prayerful for those and mindful of them. And if there is some way we can hope and help, then we want to be mindful of them and do that as well. That was a mouthful, so I'm going to take a breath. We talked in Bible class this morning about new members and what they could expect from the church and what they should expect. And they are and should have some reasonable level of expectation of becoming members of the Lord's body in a particular place. And we talked about several things along those lines. But there are two sides to every coin. And so when new members come and they become a part of a family of the Lord's people, there are certainly expectations of the new members as well. Is that fair? Amen. There in Acts chapter 2, we're reading new members. About 3,000 souls suddenly became new members of the Lord's body. There was no church before that time. And just walking kind of through the book of Acts and into the epistles, we can garner some things the Bible says that the new members did or was expected of them. Let's note several of them this morning together. Right there in Acts chapter 2, we don't have to go very far. The very next section of Scripture tells us what was expected of new members, and we would expect the same here. Any new member coming to be a part of the body here, we would expect that they would continue in the faith that they have begun. Acts chapter 2 says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. There are passages in the scriptures that clearly indicate that sometimes God's people struggle. That's true. And that sometimes God's people need to be rescued and to be retrieved. That's also true. A passage like Luke 15 comes to mind, where the Savior talks about a man who had 100 sheep, 99 of them were kept safe, and one strayed away, went away, wandered away. And what happened to the one? The Bible makes it clear the shepherd went to seek his sheep and he found it, brought it back rejoicing. And so we apply that to God's people and it becomes clear. Sometimes God's people go away and need to be retrieved. That's true. Or we might talk about a passage like 2 Peter 2, where Peter talks about those who have gone back to the world, sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire and the dog back to its own vomit. Or maybe a passage like Jude, where Jude, about verse 14 or so and following, Jude talks about pulling some out of the fire, hating even the garments stained by the fire and pulling them out. And so this is a theme in Scripture, and that's true. But there is equally a side of Scripture that emphasizes the necessity for Christians to continue in the faith that they began. And there is a real expectation that God's people would do that. You know, in the parable of the 90 and 9, note the proportions. The 99 were faithful. One went away. It should not be the case that those numbers become juxtaposed in the Lord's body. It shouldn't become the case that the retention rate of God's people is 50%. That every other person leaves. That shouldn't be the case. And you don't have to say amen to that if you can't, but if you can, somebody say amen to that. You begun the faith. What's expected of you is that you will continue in the faith you begun. That's just an expectation. When we sit with members, it's not the case that the elders won't seek to retrieve. We will. And it's not the case that the elders bemoan somehow that somebody needs to be rescued. We don't. But there's a real expectation that when you have kicked the tires on the congregation, which you're encouraged to do here, kick the tires. Don't just fall in love with the bells and whistles. Might be smoke and mirrors. Don't you do it. Not asking you to do that. Don't come here and say, oh, people so loving, I couldn't wait. I had to be a member. People so loving. Listen, the people are loving. They are. Not asking you to come in here, spend one service with us, and then say, I want to be a member of that body. No, maybe that's the case you want to. You'll be welcome. But by all means, investigate. What are we saying? Go to the website. We are the ones saying it on the website. Listen to what's being said. We're the ones saying it. You'll hear the elders up there talking. What kind of men are these? Check them out. By all means. Sit in some Bible classes. Absolutely. Don't just come and to service. No, get into some Bible classes. See what they're teaching. Somebody other than the preacher teaches, see what he's saying. Listen to him. Check with the members. Ask around. Go and be nosy. What's really happening behind these closed doors? I watched a movie about a man behind the curtain. What's going on behind the curtain? What's happening in here? Ask around. Kick the tires. Investigate. Listen to not one or two, if you can stand it. Listen to 8, 9, 10 sermons on that website. Listen to what that preacher is saying on a host of topics in a range of settings. Listen and listen and listen and investigate. And when you do, and the conclusion is, I want to be a part of that, make it to the next service. Hello? We got a new member. They're not here, though. Well, I hadn't seen them in 6 months. Wait a minute. They brand new. They continue in the faith. That's a real expectation of God's people, that God's people will continue the faith they begun. Number two. Well, that must have got close to somebody because it's so quiet in here. I don't know what to do it myself. Y'all ain't going to say amen to that. That's nobody else's expectation but the preachers. Number two, moving on. Because we want Jesus focus. New members are expected to focus on Jesus. That's what the early church did. Acts chapter 4. Matter of fact, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You keep on counting. All you'll read in the book of Acts is Jesus. That's all they knew. That's all they preached. That's all they said. All you'll read in the book of Acts is Jesus and more of our Savior. Be it known unto you all, the apostles were called into question. They were called into question because first in Acts chapter 2, they preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they were pointed in that preaching. They said to those individuals, ye men of Israel, you hear the words. You killed him, God raised him. That's Acts 2, 22 to 24. At the end of Acts chapter 2, about 3,000 souls were added based on that preaching. Sometimes people want to soften the gospel. You know, we just need to get them in here. Let's just get them in. Let's water it down. We just need them. Don't run them off. You know what? The apostles would have run people off if that's the concept. Because in Acts chapter 2, they said, you killed them, God raised them. And you know what? About 3,000 people said, what should we do about it? Church began with that kind of preaching, and it never changes. Because in Acts chapter 3, they go up to the temple and a man is lame at the gate and they heal that man. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, even the healings were in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That man rose up and walked. He walked right into the temple. In fact, he was leaping and skipping and praising the Lord. And everybody in there said, what is going on? Didn't we pass him coming in? What happened? That man was standing next to Peter and John, and when they saw it, they came over. Peter must have begun to feel something because he said, why look ye on us? As if by our own power and might we made this man whole. You know what he did from there? He preached Jesus, the God of our fathers. And he went right into the same message. And about Acts 3, about verse 19, beginning right in that section, he began to preach Jesus. You know what he said? You killed him, God raised him. He says, I know you did it by ignorance, but you did it. You killed him by wicked hand. God raised him. End of Acts chapter 3, more people obeyed the gospel. Acts chapter 4, they're called into question about that. The Sadducees are upset that they preach Jesus and the resurrection. They call them into council and they want to know, by what name have you done this? That's what's on your screen. Their response is, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What's expected of new members? That Jesus will be your focus. That Jesus will be your everything. He was to everybody in the New Testament, all the new members. You should expect Jesus to be preached. You should expect that Jesus will be our focus, and then we should have the same expectation that you'll have Jesus as your focus. Peter says Jesus is the person of salvation. We'd expect that you'd feel the same way. Wouldn't expect for you to come here and want us to somehow tell you that every religious group is all right. Wouldn't expect you to have that notion of us. Wouldn't expect that you would come here and want us to say, well, everybody's okay, just go along, get along. There's 1,000 different ways to the Father. Wouldn't expect that. Wouldn't expect that you too would come focused on Jesus, understanding I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Understand, you feel the same way. That you believe the Word was made flesh. That you believe there is one Savior of all the world. One body, one Lord, one back. We'd expect you to feel the same way. Believe the same things. Heard a preacher saying not too long ago, he was talking about his preaching in particular, and he said, if I'm upstanding and preaching the gospel and the world has decided that we can't preach on certain subjects, that somehow saying certain things is wrong and that we can no longer say that, he said, first of all, you're going to find me saying it. That's the first thing he said, because if God said it, I'll be saying it. And then he went a little further and he said, now listen, when they come for me, he said, I'll still be preaching it, but my expectation will be, we'll all go. He said, there's no way that they're going to come get me and y'all going to move out the way and let them take me. Rather, you're going to tell them you're going to need more cars because we all going because we all believe the same thing. Old preacher used to say, ain't that right? Do we all believe the same thing? We expect we all believe the same thing. Jesus is the focus. We wouldn't expect you to come and to have us talk about anybody but Jesus. We wouldn't expect that you would come and you would talk about anybody but Jesus. What's expected of new men? Jesus is our focus. He's simply our everything. He sure was to the apostles. In fact, you'll notice that the Bible says they saw their boldness. They saw it. Now, maybe they thought, we're the council. Maybe they thought, we're the authority. Maybe they thought that when we bring them in before us and we threaten them, maybe they thought that'll do it. They were terribly mistaken. That same preacher I referenced said he is a shy man by nature. That's what he said. I found that humorous. But as I was listening to him talk, I started taking notes. And one of the things that immediately jumped in my mind, apparently the gospel will make a shy man bold. The apostles were bold in preaching Jesus. That's what what's expected. Jesus focus. That's it. That's all. Some folks want to be entertained. Not you. You ain't come to be entertained. You came to hear Jesus. Amen. You ain't come to me to turn flips. You ain't come to me to turn flips. Did you come to me to turn flips? I mean, if you came without this, people who can do that, they can do it a lot better than I can. See, like me, if you want to watch somebody turn flips, you need a gymnastics channel. You don't need a preacher. You didn't come to me to brag about me, did you? Did you come to hear me tell you how great I am? Did you come for that? Or did you come to hear me say how great Jesus is? Amen? Well, we, sir, we'll see Jesus. You know, that's what people said to the apostle. Sir, we would see Jesus. I went somewhere preaching. I really appreciated it. I really appreciate it. You get up to preach at that particular place, and about right here, you can't miss it. It says, sirs, we will see Jesus. You know who sees that first? Preachers. You know who people should be hearing and seeing? Jesus. Amen? We'd expect a Jesus focus of you. But then thirdly, evangelism. What's the church about? Saving souls. Somebody said the church is a hospital where the wounded get mended. Is that all right? That's what happens, isn't it, in the Lord's body? People who are hurting get healed. People who need help get help. They get to see the great physician. And what was the church about in the first century? It's about evangelism. It's about seeking and saving the lost. It's about imitating our Savior. That's what he was about. In Acts chapter 8, Saul of Tarsus is wreaking havoc on the Lord's church. You know, the Bible is this wonderfully connected book. And every time you jump into it, chances are good, wherever you land, there is some significant stuff that happened before you landed there. And so if you land in Acts chapter 8, then there has been some significant happenings. All the way back to Acts chapter 3, where they healed the man. Chapter 4, where they were called into question. Chapter 5, where they were threatened in 4, beaten and prayed in 5. Chapter 6, where they divided up the goods. And 7, Stephen just died preaching Jesus. Then 8, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, unfortunately, they preached only to one segment of God, of people. They did that. Acts chapter 11 tells us that. But they went out of Jerusalem, scattered among persecution and result of persecution. And when they went out, they didn't go out and hide. They didn't go out and cover. They didn't go out and say, well, now that we've escaped, let's just bed down here. No, they went out talking. They went out teaching. They went out telling other people about Jesus. Now imagine that for just a moment. You are scattered, being persecuted. You probably saw, I heard somebody refer to it as the Exodus of all the cars on set coming out of Florida. Did you see that? All of those people leaving. Those people were leaving for safety's sake from a natural disaster. These people are fleeing from persecution. When you flee from persecution, you would think naturally, your instinct would be, I need to get somewhere safe and bed down and hide so they don't know. No, you find just the opposite though. They got out of the persecution and went talking. They went telling other people about Jesus. You know what you would have been able to identify? Somebody come to your town talking about Jesus. What you doing here? Well, they were fleeing. They were persecuting us over there for talking about Jesus. What you doing here? Talking about Jesus. What's the expectation of God's people? Not only that we'll have a Jesus focus when we're together, but that when we go out, we'll share Jesus with others. Saul of Tarsus went from being a persecutor to the persecuted. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales. He received sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. When did he get it? He didn't get around to it. Heard somebody say, I need to get around to it. And finally somebody bought him a round circle and wrote on it, round to it. Here. Now you got around to it. You can get on with your life. Get about your business. Now get around to it. Saul didn't wait. What is the best time to encourage people to be evangelistic? When they obey the gospel. Sometimes those of us who've been in for a long time. Sometimes those of us who've been in for a long time forget why we got in and what we got into. And sometimes those of us who've been in for a long time can't get busy. Mary, Martha, can't get busy doing everything else but being about evangelism. Sometimes new members are shot in the arm a congregation needs. Because they're close to being lost and now saved. They have a great appreciation for the difference. And sometimes they want to tell everybody about the Savior who just saved them. Here's what we pray. We pray that those of us who've been a long time don't slow you down. We pray that those of us who've been in for a long time don't rein you in. Rather, we pray that your infectious spirit and your desire will rub off on the rest of us, and we'll all be renewed. And we'll all be reinvigorated, and we'll all come back again to the place where we once were when we first tasted the glory of what it means to be saved, delivered and rescued from sin and from Satan. I started to say sorrow, but there have been too many S's. We need to share the gospel with people. We can't simply expect that of new members. Those of us who've been in for a long time need to be about the Father's business. Let us do that. Number next, we expect you to be a person of unity. God is about unity. John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for unity. You want to read the Lord's Prayer? Read John chapter 17. You could read Matthew 6, 9 following, but that's the Lord teaching men to pray. That's not the Lord praying. If you want to read the Lord praying, you need to read John chapter 17. And when you read the Lord praying, there will be one theme running all the way through his prayer, and that is that they all would be one. That they would all be one. Paul says, no division among you. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 following. No division. You'll all be one. Same mind, same judgment. Philippians 4, same thing. If there's any virtue, have the same mind. Let the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. The Holy Spirit wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When new members come to the Lord's body, there is an expectation that you will come and perpetuate the unity that you find present. Amen. Nobody's coming and thinking that new members are coming to disrupt God's house. Nobody's thinking that. We don't sit with people and say, oh, we can't wait till you come in here and just tear up everything. Just move all the furniture around. Nobody's expecting that. If you come and place membership, the expectation as a new member, first of all, and hopefully one of the reasons you came, is the place was already at peace. You know, most people, after they have endured and endured, and nobody is suggesting that you run out of a congregation at the first sign of trouble. You'd run out of all of them if that were the case. But there are many people who are in congregations, and they have some concerns and some cares, and they've gone through some things, and they've shared it, and they've had the right attitude and disposition, and they see changes that are happening, and those things aren't scriptural, and they talked to the leaders, and they prayed about it, and they sought counsel, they've stayed, tried to influence, provide help, all these things you should do. But if you reach the point where you think, I have got to leave, my faith will not allow me to stay here any longer, then hopefully you're coming to a place where peace and unity already pervade. You know why you're leaving that situation? It's because you're looking for peace. You are looking for sound doctrine. You're looking for unity. And when you find it, you shouldn't be the one then disrupting it. Positive influence is as powerful, if not more so, than negative influence. And what people who are new members should get is an overwhelming positive influence from the membership to stay and keep unity. Hello? Every member should be engaged and endeavoring to keep unity. Every member should do that. Every member, it should be important to everybody. You're a new member. There's an expectation that you would just keep, strive to keep the unity. Not saying there isn't need sometimes for people to make changes in their lives. We all need to do that. But if a congregation is at peace and unity, you don't want to be the one disrupting that body of people by going around and sowing up discord and doing things that are contrary to sound doctrine and healthy teaching. You don't want to be the person doing that. There's an expectation of that. That you would grow in Christ. There's an expectation of that. Peter says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Not suggesting, although some are babes, some are new Christians in the sense that they are babes in Christ. They've recently obeyed the gospel. They are just babes in the Lord. What should they do? They should desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow. They should feed upon God's word. They should study to show themselves approved. They should get help and nurture and strength and support from God's family as they develop and grow their faith. And they should be given time. They should be given patience. They should be given endurance. Sometimes new members obey the gospel, and obeying the gospel washes away one's sins. Absolutely. And a person has repented, they've changed their mind, and then they come out and they walk in a new life, and sometimes old habits still linger. That new person should be given patience and time and space to grow. Not suggesting to you that it's okay to do wrong, it's not. But the expectation is growth, and growth generally is incremental, and it takes time, and there is some missteps along the way as one grows. What do we do with those people? We hope we give them patience and strength and support and time to grow. Every member needs to do that. Sometimes people get run off because they aren't given that. They make one mistake, and I thought you was a Christian. Well, I was yesterday. I obeyed the gospel yesterday. Well, it fix it all now. Well, it don't quite work that way. Let me ask you this. Have you fixed it all? Person been in 2 days. You been in 20 years. And you fix it all. Now, you ain't fixed it all. I ain't fixed it all. Anybody here fixed it all? This ain't a good time to raise your hand and scratch. If you fix it all, you'll make me guess wrong. Put my hands down. Nobody's fixed it all. And sometimes babes in Christ aren't given the patience and time and support and love they need, and they need it. Last thing we want to do is run people off for mistakes and missteps that they're making on their road to growth. And it's easy to do, sometimes not knowingly, not intentionally necessarily, but we just want to do right. Don't we all want to do right? And the moment we see wrong, we jump on it with 2 feet and an elbow. We jump all the way in there. Well, they need time. The babes in Christ. You would think it's strange if a babe in Christ did something and then a person 30 years and they did the same thing. Well, you might think that's strange. Would you deal with them differently? Should you deal with them differently? Yeah, we should. I hope we do. Pray we do. Bible encourages us to grow, though. Peter says, but grow in grace. Knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Friends, I hope and trust that you are making it your personal business to grow your faith. I hope that among the things you get up with the intentions of do today is to grow closer to your Lord. Wow, this is one aspect of it. Coming to worship, that's one aspect of it, certainly so. Maybe we might even say one demonstration of it, one manifestation of it. That's great. We should worship the Lord. Only stands the reason. Fish swim and Christians worship God. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Amen? It just makes sense. That's right. However, this is not the sum total of our relationship with God. And you can't hope. You cannot rely on this setting being the entirety of your efforts to grow closer to your God. There's no way it can work that way. But the Bible is great about, among so many things, is the way it sets the spiritual next to the physical. And then it says, if you can understand the physical, then you can understand the spiritual. It just sets them side by side and says, look. And what it would do in this situation, it would say, look at your physical body. When you're a babe moving forward, how often do you eat? It'll just say, look. Somebody's got to feed you, and you got to hunger and thirst, and somebody's got to keep. And when you start growing with that sustenance, you reach a point where you can feed yourself. Now, how often do you eat? It just lays them side by side and says, if you can understand that, you can understand this. Your spiritual health is based upon the same premise and concept. Your physical man needs to eat. And your spiritual man needs to eat. Friends, listen. I trust we're all the same. So when I say this, I trust you and I feel the same way about this. As a gospel preacher, I so want to do what God says of me and my responsibility relative to preaching. When you come and we assemble, I want to preach the truth. I want to make it about Jesus. I want us focus on God. I want you to get, if God said it, I want to give it to you what God said. Whether you like it or I like it, I want that to be secondary. Whether you're smiling or frowning, I want that to be secondary. I feel it, just for the record. I feel it. But I don't want to be moved by it. I want the Bible. I want His word to be given to you. I want to do my job. But friends, I assure you, where I fall down on that, I want to be the first one to raise my hand. I have some private talks with myself, and I do not want to be one of those people denying my wrongs. I want to raise my hand and say, regardless of the embarrassment, I want to say, yeah, it was me. Regardless of the cost, I want to say, yeah, it was me. Ain't always easy, but I want to do that. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to raise my hand. And friends, listen, it's not my job. You're beyond my purview. It is not my job to study for you. Not my job. It is not my job to grow your faith. That's not my job. You're beyond my purview. I want to take responsibility for everything that's mine. And part of mine is encouraging you to grow yours. Now, friends, if you don't do that, if you then blame me, some people are willing to do that. If you then blame me, well, Eric didn't see me. Eric didn't think about it. Eric didn't. Listen, I'll raise my hand where it's my fault, but you're beyond my purview. You did not come and obey the gospel for the preacher. Amen? You obey the gospel for who? For who? You don't ever want to forget that. You didn't obey the gospel for the membership. You didn't obey the gospel for the elders. You didn't obey the gospel for the deacons. You didn't obey the gospel because Sister So-and-so thought your dress looked good. You did not obey the gospel for that. So please don't leave Christ and His church when people inside don't behave the way you think they should. Please don't give up your faith when the preacher fails, because he will. Please don't give up your faith in Jesus. Please don't go 6 months without reading your Bible because you're waiting on somebody else to do it for you. What's the expectation? You'll grow. The expectation is you'll do what God says and you'll grow. Finally. The expectation is, I wrote this on mine, it's not on yours. We expect you to do and become everything you found when you came. Let me say that again. We expect you to do and become everything you found when you came. We talked in Bible class that you should have come and found loving siblings. We expect you to become one. In your words and in your deeds, we would expect that you would exude love to people who are here. And friends, listen, this is every one of us. This is every one of us. We asked the class this morning in Bible class, when new members come, do you make it your personal responsibility to seek them out? Do you make it your personal responsibility to welcome them? Do you make it your personal responsibility? Friends, I hear the horror stories, you don't. And I'm included in the horror stories. I just want you to understand, we all are. Somebody says, those people down there are not friendly. They're talking about every single one of us. Somebody said, nobody met me. Nobody called me. Nobody. Hope it ain't true. I hope there's no way all of us missed them. I hope there's no way every single one of us. Now, some people use all of them hyperbolically, and they mean most. They mean some. They shouldn't say all, but they do. Whatever the case, you're one of us. And so when they say those folks, they're talking about you too. Hope you are as loving as you expected people to be to you. Amen? You should be a helper. We said we were going to help bear one another's burdens. You should be among those then growing to become a spiritual person who would help somebody in need. At some point, we all need help. And then we need to move to be helpers. You shouldn't be in need of help exclusively always. Everybody needs help sometimes, but somebody, at some point, you need to learn to help. Somebody needs you. We said we're going to edify. You need to be an edifier. Are you an encourager? Okay, I'm no Barnabas. Fine. What can you be, whatever your name is? You know we do that. We take a word in the Bible, like Paul, and then we put Paul for evangelism, and then we remove Paul and just make now the word Paul means evangelism. And then we say this, well, I'm no Paul. Well, I guess what that means is I can't evangelize. No, that's not what that means. That's what we do. I'm no Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement and consolation. I'm no Barnabas. Well, since you're not Barnabas, you can't encourage nobody. I mean, there's nothing you can do, literally and figuratively, nothing you can do to encourage anybody under any circumstance at any time because your name's not Barnabas. Is that right? That don't even sound right, does it? And yet that's what we do. There's nobody you can't call. There's nobody you can't visit. There's nobody you can't. Everybody needs to be an edifier. Jesus focus. He's our everything. Heaven as our hope and our home. I guess this sermon and these and that Bible class could have been summed up in Matthew 7:12. Whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you. You know the rest of that verse? Do you even so to them? What's expected of new members? That we would do just that. Follow in the steps of our Savior and practice Christianity. We're so thankful today to be able to celebrate and welcome the new members here. You are a blessing to us. And I hope, we hope, as the eldership and the membership, we hope and trust we are living up to our calling from our Lord to be what He wants us to be and to be Christians following His example. What a day we have before us. We're thankful that you're here. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you submitted to Jesus? As we said this morning, friends, church is not about us. Church is about Jesus. Have you submitted to Him? Would you believe the gospel? Would you believe that Jesus is our everything? Would you believe that He's the Son of God? Repent, confess His name, be immersed in water, walk in newness of life, Romans 6:3-4. Bury with Him, walk in newness of life. Have your sins forgiven. Have your name written in heaven. Would you do that this morning if you haven't? If you have and you're in need of help, would you come home? Luke 15 is a wonderful passage. It's in our Bible. God's arms are ever open. If any one of His children, just one of His children, if one of His children comes home, He will run to meet him, wrap him in His arms, kiss him on the neck, get the fatted calf, get the new ring, the new robe, the new shoes, and rejoice in heaven over one of His children returning. That's the picture we have of our Heavenly Father. If you're in need of that this morning, we beg you to come as we'll rejoice with heaven over you. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.